Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
says he wants to support a total ban on abortion, but also because Herschel Walker's 23-year-old adult son has been so outspoken the last 2 days in condemning his father for running in the first place.
So you bring up his son. I do want to play a part of a video that he released just a couple of hours ago, doubling down essentially on what he tweeted out earlier. Let's watch that for just a moment, and then we'll talk.
He has four kids, four different women, wasn't in the house raising one of them. He was out having sex with other women. Do you care about family values? I'm just saying, don't lie. Don't lie on my mom. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on the lives you destroy and act like you're some moral family man. Y'all should care about that. Conservative.
So at this moment, it's not just this woman making me...
Boy, I tell you, kids say the darnest things. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. As we dip into another Hump Day special, I'm your host, Michael Wilson, with DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to be with you. Yes. So, T Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASN Newsroom and the Assessors of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, the good shit. So, who, what, when, where, why, and how, I look right now. And www.basnnewsroom.com. Now, we've already heard that Mr. Walker has made his case that he has sinned. Oh, yes, he has sinned. And he seeks redemption. Now, out of the plethora of wisdom that I can resort to in terms of speaking to or getting the opinion of other folks between Tony, Gary, Fred, the Mighty Oba and all that, the last person that I thought would register is the first I recall, and that is my brother Patrick Farrar. Because Patrick's catchphrase is, why y'all surprised? And he's right. Why y'all surprised? If there's anywhere I can tell you where conservatism lives, it is in an NFL locker room. There's no liberal action going on in there. No, no, no. Liberal is passe. The only person I ever heard speak with a liberal tongue about anything in a locker room was, he was a kid from Tampa Bay, the young man who built houses for people in honor of his dead mom who was on the job. He was a cop. Everybody else has an agenda. Everybody else has an agent working for them who's working an agenda. So in an NFL locker room, forget about liberal anything. Now, the reason I bring this up is because when that came out, people were like, well, we should be shocked at what he's saying. No, we shouldn't. They got surprised. Because the way he said it, it was like, I've heard this before, and I've been in locker rooms for over 25 years. So seeing this, hearing this is no surprise. The check, the amount of the check, the car, all the other stuff, all this is just window dressing. The bottom line is, here's somebody who says he's pro-life and he fucked up. He's like, oh, well, don't let those mistakes I talked about get in the way here. Let me just stumble by and let me see what we can do here. Now, what bothers me most about all this is that this came out in 2009. Herschel Walker was talking about this running for office in 2022. So somebody had to look pretty hard to find this. Well, maybe not hard, but let's just say it was out there. So having said all that, it was like a case of big bait catches big rat. Yeah, some bait that was put out there, and the next thing you know, he's saying, I have sinned on Fox News. I've got my brothers with me, Tony and Gary, and let me assess all this stuff. Gary, what do you think, my brother?
The GOP once again picks the best qualified person to run for office. Way the better. Now see, the GOP can handle all this pretty quickly. If you pick the intelligent black man to run for office, this is what we have. The GOP insists on doing this time and time again. So I don't feel sorry for him. I don't know.
That's interesting. Less qualified? Tony, do you agree? Do they look for the less qualified?
I kind of think they just look for the first guy or gal that shows up. to be quite honest, this is business as usual.
Michael, all the people in Georgia. You had to pick Herschel Walker. Why you do that?
Well, you do that because...
Okay, I'll tell you the reason why, okay?
Go ahead.
They were a named black person. They were black person. They didn't care about personality. They didn't care about the intelligence. They didn't care about what he did in his life. They didn't care. They so busy trying to get black people to vote for them. They're stupid doing it.
Well, somebody name recognizable for sure. We got Reggie in the mix. Reggie, what do you say?
First of all, brother, how you feeling?
I'm feeling well, sir.
You know, I had to say that we send prayers and love and concern for you and your health, prayers for you and your family. And I think
Thank you, brother.
In life we just need to sit back and say peace and blessing to those we love, we care about. And when the family member's not feeling well, we all ask the ancestors to lay hands and also hopefully you can feel better. So I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I was going to say real quick, a lot of times we as black men don't take time out to show appreciation to each other. We also see the negativity. So I think that me personally, I try to show peace and blessings and love and concern to everybody on the panel, including Gary, Professor, and of course Mike and the others that come on, Orlando and others. I forgot to charge it to my head because I'm old now. I can't remember shit. Jesus, that's my apology.
You know, now
if I did not name you out of the circle.
Now that you brought it up, I'm at that stage in my life where I have two things that either go on. Either I'm looking forward to something, and when I look forward to something, I really plan something really long and drawn out and well, hoping that it will come out okay. And usually that usually means it does not. Or wait for the moment to hit me and do something spontaneously. And usually those turn out very well. Being how my situation is at the end of the month, I may do one of the other. But having said all that, the fact that the Democrats and the Republicans have shown their cards in this race is oblivious to me. We've seen the Republicans say, let's hold our nose and just drag this guy. Because they doubled down on Herschel Walker. They said, well, he's not so bad. You know, yes, he sinned. And yes, we can clean him up. I mean, Hannity was trying to sanitize his ass over Fox News there. But how do you assess all this? How do you say to yourself, you got somebody who's lying straight out? At the very least, he's a hypocrite. So how are you going to buy this? And how are the Republicans going to sell this? Anybody?
And look, if Georgia votes for this guy, they deserve what they get. That's all I'm going to say. If they vote for him, hey, y'all deserve what y'all get.
Yep.
Money is this. Republicans keep playing the same game over and over again. And where's it going to stop? And
I'm going to say this, Gary. If the Democrats sit on their fucking hands and allow the Republicans to paint the narrative and the Heritage Foundation, then that's on them. I mean, you can't drag a horse to make them drink. You can't beat a mule if you don't want to go up the hill. And when it comes to the fucking Democrats, you got to slap that donkey all the way up the damn hill because that donkey don't want to fight.
Unfortunately, that jackass and that horse is usually the same person riding it. That's the problem.
Thank you.
True that.
Be
it
young,
that.
Old, middle aged, or black or white, the same one. You're right about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, and you and Mike and you too, Willona.
Yeah, and you too, Willona. Don't
oh, I am just a politician that got you in the slums.
No joke. I mean, how many times have we heard it? And that we hear it in the terms of, well, I'm redeemed, or whatever the word is, you know, saved. Have you seen the church come mm-hmm. into play and clean up this guy? Yes, we've dipped him into the holy waters of, we got his back. So now, you know, you go on ahead and say.
Then you come to find out he just fell in some Epsom salt.
Exactly. Oh, my God. No, this copy is just too easy to write. So what we really got to think about is the after effect, that somebody would be this flawed and he would still get an affirmative vote come poll day because we like him or he was a great football player. If you remember, he was going to buck the system when he came out. Donald Trump hired him to play for the Generals. They won the last year's NFL title.
Mike, to be fair, even though I know he did play his last 2 years, it was the original owner that originally signed him. I forget.
That's
it was
true.
Like, he did, you know, those last 2 years of the USFL, he did play under Trump. It is what it is. But see, the thing, you know, I think it just speaks to just how little they think of folks because they figure literally they can just, you know, throw somebody, you know, just throw anybody out there. You know,
anybody.
But I think it also just shows you how little they think of what Stacey Abrams has tried to do in Georgia. But see, again, I got to go back to what Reggie says. Now I keep seeing this thing online about it's Rovember. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we heard all of this rhetoric, you know, four years ago and 8 years ago.
That's right.
And last I checked, 64% of women voted you-know-who in. So
no shit.
I'll believe it when I see it.
This is going to be the key to this election.
When they don't get their way, it'll go back to the old standard of 1-800 blame the black folks.
No shit. Well, I can't say Gary's wrong. But what I can say is that, you know, when something like this is
Michelle
still
Obama,
out there.
Don't blame black folks this time.
In 2016, middle class
No. You got that half right. They didn't like Hillary.
Yes.
That sort of reinforces it. I mean,
right.
Everybody talking about how this was going to be a coronation, first woman president, and she can't even get her own kind to vote for her. But of course, remember, that's black folks' fault too, mind you.
That's black folks' fault for sure.
I know what you can do with her hot sauce too.
Yeah, definitely hot sauce. We got to remember this: 53% of women wanted Donald Trump to grab their pussies. White women.
And thank you for saying that. And thank you for saying that after the dinner hour. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know that's true. But they did. So come and get it. And he got it. So what are we left with now? We're left with races like what we see in Georgia, races where people who say the election didn't happen. I just heard of one in New Hampshire where the guy is saying, no, the election was false. It didn't happen. I'm denying this. Pennsylvania's got one right next door in here. Yeah, this fool is saying, yeah, the election didn't happen. I mean, you got fools like this all the time here. Wisconsin, we got one. This has become fragmented because now we are looking at something totally different. But let me go back to where I said in the beginning.
Michael, before you go there, I have something to say. This is very serious.
Okay.
What we are looking at right now is a tag right, or American rights. What the Supreme Court will do next is curtail voting rights and civil rights. Those are the next things in line. I'm telling you, this is where it goes. With the Alabama case and the Supreme Court, what?
Well, what do you expect? C-SPAN used to take care of stuff like this where we would see it right in front of our faces. But we've got the so-called mainstream media running interference for the other media and letting the facts kind of get obfuscated as we watch two sets of truths. We see the truth of Herschel Walker's son saying basically that his father ain't shit. Then we see the truth of, I'm a changed man. God has blessed me with redemption, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is straight out of when homeboy down in Louisiana got a prostitute and then told everybody, I have sinned. Yeah, well, he did sin, but it was good in a bet. Having said that, we got the professor with us, and professor, good evening. Come on in and tell me what you think. Now, they're going to try to do the cleanest up, seeing that you are the Republican in the House.
First of all, I think Mr. Walker has taken one or two or three shots to the head.
One or two. Better put some zeros behind it.
Here's a classic case of one of the guys who went to college, played football.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty apparent that all he did was play football.
True.
And chased white women. Don't forget that. He chased white women.
Oh, yes.
And then it beat some
I think that's
up.
All the fact that he did. See, where I went to school, he was trying to teach me. You didn't have a hundred white women to chase. Mr. Walker is in front of a big charade. It's hard to point out who is doing what and who's pulling the strings from behind him.
Right.
But you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of big people with a lot of big money. Keeping the screen up, keeping up, because it's hard to believe that you got people who have made millions, if not billions of dollars,
yep.
who have gone through all sorts of schools.
Okay.
Whether they were HBCUs or PWIs or even reform schools. It's hard to believe that many people in the state of Georgia are that stupid. Just like the ones in Alabama, the ones in Mississippi.
You want to bet?
It's just hard to believe there are that many there. But obviously they are.
Yeah.
Here in North Carolina. We have this gentleman who's running for the U.S. Senate, and he's talking about being transparent, but he won't debate. He's talking about being transparent. This guy is so bad that even the Republicans don't want him out in public because. and one of the ones that lost in the primary,
hey,
he was
you
so
too,
bad.
Craig, can get a thank you card with money in it.
My thing has always been, okay, be who you say you are, do what you say you're going to do, and we'll get along. Well, this one gentleman who used the excuse for owning a wheelchair, I didn't remember I had a gun.
We all have
I've known you guys three or more years, and even you, Reggie, you know you were brought up better than that. You don't laugh at people who are mentally ill because it's hard to believe that a guy can get elected twice to the U.S. House of Representatives. And he's too stupid to know that he can't carry a loaded gun on a plane. Come on.
Yeah. Yes.
But it has been verified. He's tried at least on at least three occasions. When all you got to do is put a gun in your luggage or whatever, there's a proper way to store and move guns because we have guys here who are in the military. Quiet as it's kept. Some of these cats don't surrender their guns for no reason. But beyond that, because either they're war marshals or special forces, they don't go nowhere without packing.
I heard that.
Think so? and I'll just leave it at that. But see, probably a couple of years ago, I made a statement that what we're seeing here is a retooled scenario from the 1930s, where there's this guy named Adolph, with the closest mustache.
Yep.
What did he do? He shut off the Jews. Took their money to do his bidding. Then he cut out other churches because nobody in Germany were able to connect because all the information flowed through him and his cronies. There's no difference in that now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say this as quietly as possible. There's somebody somewhere listening to what we're saying now. Okay?
But having said that, I will take one hit too many to the head for $1,000. And it wasn't that long ago, we remember the Frontline documentary, you know, and how quarterbacks were taking hits and other players were taking hits, and CTE had become part of the lexicon. Now, Dr. Bennett Omalu, the same cat who told everybody about this shit, said it's coming again, is out front and center saying that Tua Tagovailoa should retire. And based on what he's shown in the past, he's got good reason to beef. The Miami quarterback. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, no, no, please. No, go ahead. No, I was going to go when you finish.
So, the Miami quarterback was playing. And then on a Thursday night game, with a short return, was it 2 days basically, got injured badly. And in the game against Cincinnati, lost the game. But not only lost the game, but took a wicked hit. And he was found to be okay based on the doctors. But even after the game, there were certain people who couldn't hold their tongue about, are you fucking kidding me? You know, this guy is injured. And he is injured. And now he may retire because, shit, his head's probably like Rennick Custard after the beating he took over the last 2 days. Now, 2 days and two games in, what, 4 or 5 days may seem a bit, how can I say, added to the schedule a bit much because you've got 2 days basically to heal up and 2 days for the game plan. If you're a quarterback, it's even more important you be focused. And all of a sudden now, homeboy is counting pink elephants and other things running around his head as he's got to deal with the fact that he took a major hit. I saw that hit. That shit was no bullshit.
Add an S to that, Mike.
No shit. Hits. But, I mean, they clocked him pretty good. And Tony, I can't see how somebody, anybody in a front office capacity could say, my guy's okay, he's good to go for the next game.
Well, look, me and Reggie the other night were talking about the HBO documentary a few years back, Disposable Heroes.
Disposable Heroes,
And the mental, look, they can do all the posturing and all the commercials for player safety and all the it wasn't me deals, but it's sort of like what we're seeing going on in the voting and in the elections. You know, they can do all sorts of stuff for reform, and they can do all sorts of stuff to make it so that more people vote and everything. But you're never going to change a mentality because it's as basic as, you know, the game last Thursday was being hyped literally right up until like halftime of that Baltimore Miami game where he originally got hurt. And again, this is, look, the league is pushing product. This is nothing, you know, this is nothing different than Coke pushing new Coke or new and improved Tide or what have you. Their whole thing was, you know, they're pushing product. They don't give a damn about player safety. They, you know,
I agree.
They do.
Again,
they really do.
It's an end of the day. The one rule about the $1 million boys and or women's club, what's done here, what's said here, stays here. The bottom line is that this played out on national TV and they literally, there wasn't a hole big enough for them to hide under, because the league is, you know, the league and the teams are complicit in this. If, you know, whether Tua plays another game this year or for the rest of his career, sadly is immaterial in their eyes. You know, they just, you know, it's like the old Ice Cube line. They'll bring in a new nigga next year. And they did
in the game, as Teddy Bridgewater played.
Yeah, Teddy
Bridgewater.
Yeah,
T-Mac, this is Jerry Jones. NFL stands for Negroes for Lease, and don't forget that.
Pretty much, because see, they are, I see Mr. Rush has already I guess they're getting ready. They're fitting him for his golden jacket, apparently, down there in Arlington.
Yeah. He'll be in the Ring of Honor probably in the season.
What time is it now? He might be already there. You never know.
Yeah,
but it's again, end of, you know, it goes back to what Mike has said so much about the hundred yard sweatshop. We saw that basically play out last Thursday, and you know, we see it play out pretty much every week, and see, especially now, because they want to drain as much out of the product as they can. That's why, you know, if they can get away with football 6-7 days a week, you know, and then have half the season and play half the games in London, Germany, you know, Bapu Tatswana, you know,
I'll lean on the professor here, because professor was a while ago where you canned the phrase sports entertainment, and it was to be whimsical with regard to the fact that there's a methodology to what they want to set up and how they want to set up the games people play. Now, Professor, if you would, please riff on this a little bit more and let everybody understand just what we're talking about here.
Okay. Starting out simplistically, sports entertainment is just the business of sports. Sports is a business. It runs from Little League, or even before that. Little Johnny is being carried around by his mom. She hasn't quote spit him out yet. Mm-hmm. And you got pops buying him a football jersey for whatever team.
Yep.
Right. You got somebody help me with this. Why does a child who can't even walk need a pair of Nikes? Okay.
It's called branding, Fred. It's called branding. Yeah. That's what it is.
Branding for real.
Fred. We get dead and alive.
You're not police, man. Got to get them young. You're not police.
For Nike shoes, but we get dead and alive 3 hours to go vote. Hello?
Gary, let me talk to Fred Midland. You know better than that.
Taking
this step further. Sports is so deeply in sports, like so many other things that affect us when it comes to our day-to-day operation. Sports is another one of those things out there that it's a cool thing to have, but it ain't necessary. I was watching earlier today on PBS. There's a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he was quite a prolific educator, sort of cut from the cloth of Marva College. And he was talking about how each year there are like 400,000 young men playing football, basketball, other That's
right.
In a team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was it Fred? By any chance, was it Dr. James Comer?
No. That name doesn't ring a bell.
This
is
a
He talked about how you got 400,000 young men, young black men, who are out competing for, I want to say like a thousand or so jobs in the NFL.
He
broke it down to back then when they did the NBA draft. I think they drafted as many as 12, 14 people. Now I think it's two. But either way you look at it, he broke it down to the nth degree. So you got 400,000 young black men trying to get into the NBA, where there's maybe a thousand slots. Football,
sure.
There's maybe 2,000 slots.
Yep.
And he was talking about how stupid it was to then he said, you got computer programmers who there's a shortage. And he went down the list, his whole litany of things. Okay, you got all these the rest of this 400,000, but you still got a shortage of black males being present in these offices and ready for these jobs.
Hey, professor, can I throw something at you?
No.
Come on, just call Winston's getting their ass beat. Be nice now. Be nice. and get it equipped again. No, but Professor, this one I'll throw at you. Okay, since ESPN did a report, since 2000 to 2019, take a wild guess of how much money has been spent on coaches being bought out. Take a wild guess.
Oh, probably close to $1 billion.
Reggie, does the word national debt come up in that
Even allowed you to pay
$650 million.
How much,
Reggie? Say that, Reggie. How much? $650 million. $650 million.
That adds up to okay. Now,
but the young kids can't brand themselves. They can't get money. A certain coach in Clemson said, but I digress.
Yeah. Well, he's not alone because
true.
Now remember you mentioned Clemson. I had a neighbor that played for Clemson, right? Now his dad got a new job at a firm friend of Clemson.
Friend of the franchise.
Mama got a new car so she could come see him play wherever they. Now, mind you, if it was like, okay, back then the ACC went only up to Maryland, and I think they flew to Maryland. Take that back. They got a new car because she was afraid to fly. She told me, no, we didn't get an airplane.
Bless her.
So she has this nice.
Got to get a Uber up there.
At that time, the, what do you call them, SUVs were just getting a little prominent. So they got an SUV with which they traveled to Maryland. I think they went down to Georgia Tech, and, because ACC didn't have the Florida schools at that time. Anyway, off the beaten path, but it's all part of the sports entertainment business. Because I know a young man who was told, okay, you go to this dealership, give them this car, and they sign you a vehicle so that you can drive back and forth to take your summer classes. Wink.
Yes.
Okay.
This wasn't a rental wreck, boys and girls.
This is part of sports entertainment business that's not on the surface, but it's still there. There is so much mad money, and you got people who complain about the budget, the federal deficit, and all that kind of stuff. They need to start taking money out of football and basketball just the under the table move. You can completely solve the U.S. budget problem because there's that much money out there. You got people buying and selling football, buying and selling basketball. There's so many, you know, Roland Martin helped the GCAC negotiate a media package that pays them gobs of money that they have never touched until this year. The new commissioner down there has brought new blood into it. And you know, in one of his rants, he broke something that was crazy. We talk about these coaches talk about how players shouldn't be paying on this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
During the 2020 year, school year, the member schools of the SEC, after the SEC got their cut, after all this other stuff, the SEC distributed $52 million to each of its member schools.
That's why,
you know, when they come up, it's just a sport, it's just a game. Bullshit. That's a business.
And Mike, by the way, the SEC's moniker is "We want it more." Yeah, because you're taking more, of course.
why do you think all these other schools are jumping into the SEC? And Clemson is just realistically in this area, because for those who don't know. Clemson and University of South Carolina are just down the road from each other. You're on Highway 20. Matter of fact, if you're on Highway 20, about 11:30 at night after they play NC State.
Okay.
Not me, thanks. Not me, thanks. I don't think I want to be in that area of town.
You got a football team, right? And you hear them talk about, well, you know, you got eight, I think it's 85 scholarships, and then you got so many guys who are redshirted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, a football team at a Division I school like that especially, you probably got 120 to 130 football players alone.
That's right.
The travel roster is what? 75?
Like 80.
Because you can carry all your scholarship players, although they do sometimes carry other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just so they can get the experience of travel and all that kind of stuff. But
the largesse that's spoken about, he really has nothing to do with football. This should start with wrestling. You know, I cannot remember the date or the exact time, but I can remember the moment when The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, came out and said that he was the most electrifying performer in sports entertainment. And all of a sudden, we went from WWF to WWE. Now, this may have been the mistake of the XFL trying to confuse the fact that wrestling fans ain't football fans, or they shouldn't be mixed together. The bottom line in all this is that they decided that this will not work. The XFL was proof of that. And then when the second generation of the XFL came along, they said, fuck it. We're going to play the line. We'll play the over-under. Everything will be about the spread, the money. And if you get that, hooray for you. And they did that. But sports entertainment was relegated to the fact that the wrestlers, and giving them respect, they're out there every day doing what they do. They're athletes. They stay in shape. And they're out there putting it out. But nobody is going to go say, well, I'm going to go see the football game because The Rock is wrestling tonight on stage or that Hulk Hogan's going to be out there midfield. However, that same fan might think, well, The Rock and The Hulk in the steel cage, I'll pay to see that. Because they realize in advance, somebody has already decided who's going to win. It all depends on the market. It all depends on who the promoter is and how they work this. But the bottom line is they already know there's a winner and a loser. It's all a matter of the methodology and how they do this. And that's what is so unentertaining about sports entertainment. If you don't know it's fake, it won't bother you. If you know it is, well, it's in the scripture.
Mike.
You,
yeah. Mike. Wrestling is probably the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what's wrong with this company. Because anybody who ever watched a match, okay, I'll just lay these three things out there. You don't see,
right.
You never see a white guy with a bruise, correct? You never see a white guy with a black eye.
True.
Since AIDS came out and came about in the early 80s, say about between 84, 85, when people really found out what AIDS was, HIV AIDS.
Yeah.
You don't see no blood.
Yeah.
But better still, how much do you hear them talk about AIDS anymore?
True.
Where did they go? You know, until COVID hit, what, almost 3 years ago, and you had the COVID was a rejuvenation of reality.
That's true.
Okay, but then I got my uncle. This is way back in the old days. Johnny Weaver and all them kind of. All them guys back way back in the days, in the late 60s. As a matter of fact, in the 70-71 school year, for my senior high school. I worked at the arena. And my uncle Matt was like another father to me. His wife was like my mother, and my mother actually passed away.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, even if Uncle Matt wasn't even home, they turned the TV on, put it on Channel 5 because wrestling came on, and that was as relevant in that household as church was on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, you either went to China Grove or Dove Chapel, Haley Down or Baptist Church at 11 o'clock, and it was 12:30, 12:45, you got out and come back home. Well, my uncle got to come in the on the loading dock area through the back door, so to speak, and because he wanted to see these wrestlers. But what he did not expect was two of the guys who put on a show for real that night. These guys, you know, they would have to drag them out of one side of the ring and the other one out of the other side,
right,
because they were such vicious enemies. He saw this character talking game planning for the match that night. Drinking a beer and smoking cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
It broke his heart. But that's how gullible, how gullible people are when it comes to wrestling. You know, what's this thing that ESPN got, the fan experience?
Right.
It is one of the combined most stupid thing I've ever seen. Because you got all these, quote, rabid fans up there, and all they do is yell, let's go.
Yep.
You know, let's go Big Blue, let's go Big Yellow, whatever. And all they do is yell and scream. You know, they make all this noise. And they're the least relevant people because, see, by the time they get to that point, you done took their money. The only thing that's left for them is if they have to pay, they have to go back and pay for it. Ronald Martin said, you know, white people crazy because they don't even plan anything for halftime. They go eat. If you've been to two, maybe three HBCU games, you know Livingstone one year had like 35 minutes in their band, right? You think now the people who they played, that was the year they played played North Carolina Central. North Carolina Central people, but they had almost as many utility people as they had musicians. And I don't even get into what I think of them. But anyway, they came out. They did a nice little show for what they had to work with, because they were at that time they were in deep doo-doo when it came to finances. Okay,
yep.
Livingstone went out and did their show. They were at North Carolina Central. North Carolina Central's team, North Carolina Central people laughed at Livingstone and basically some people, they need to get them off the field. But, you know, at the end of the show, they cheered them. But the thing was, they had laughed at the band. And the football team came back out. They only had like 45 football players they were good. They beat Central, everybody on the bottom of their feet in the second half. That was the first time they had ever won the CIAA football championship. Well,
this is part of the problem.
Looking down the road to where we are now, more and more, and one of the things I'm thankful to His Majesty Coach Prime, if he could just keep the facts straight and stay in his lane on some things.
I heard that.
There's a lot he could do. But some of the things he said out of left field for him. You know, I had to explain the other day, a few days ago, why I quote clashed with him. If it wasn't a clash, he was factually incorrect. If he didn't have three All-Pro/Hall of Fame players on the field at Jackson State at the time he was talking about, I still don't see the one possible. And he ain't there yet. He just continued that on that line of thinking. Well, the problem is he was on the wrong track.
Yeah, you're right. Tony, you were in the belly of the beast, so to speak, with WWE/F. In the midst of all of this, how did they work themselves out of the sports entertainment?
They haven't left it all. They're still knee deep. They're probably the kings of it. You know, I think the other four sports leagues, whether they want to admit it or not, takes a little bit from them in regard to the over the topness and everything else. See, the McMahon's where McMahon messed up is that when the first inclination of the XFL, he thought that he could basically push wrestling football, for lack of a better word. But see, people still like football. You know, they still want football. You know, still have to, and he learned his lesson, you know, when they brought it back. He just stuck to football and left the wrestling. Because see, even though they all sort of clash, there is a sort of a line of demarcation in the sense of we don't want to see wrestling when we're trying to watch football. When we want to watch football, we're going to watch football. That's where he took it too far. But in that vein, a lot of these sports steal from each other and steal from look at the NBA and All-Star Weekend. That is all ABA, right down to the slam dunk contest, to the to the All-Star game and everything. It's all taken from. There's nothing new, quote unquote, under the sun. It's just packaged differently.
T Mac, you forgot the guy sitting on the sideline with the fur coats.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Jim and the other stars. And see, one of the problems with the core of football would be the old NFL. The NBA was the old NBA pre-expansion. The same thing with baseball. They can't get out of their own way trying to preserve the sanctity of the sport. I was talking to someone earlier this morning because the young man broke the
American League home run record.
Yes. And that's a goal. That's cool. American League. But I said, what about baseball? For various reasons, it would be next to nothing to prove what went on in the old Negro League. I'll give you that. But we do know because we got the videotape of one Barry Bonds. Katie, what is it,
63?
73. 73. Ooh. So 62 to 63.
But he did it the right way.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. T-Mac, you all follow baseball closer than me. I'm a Pirate fan, so we shut down at high noon.
By the way, I saw the funniest thing online. They had this like fake commercial and it was hilarious. They had this guy, you know, three piece suit and said, "Have you followed the Pittsburgh Pirates for the last 13 years? You may be eligible for compensation." And I was like, that's just wrong. That's just wrong.
We are family.
That's no worse than a couple weekends ago. I turned on TV on Fox, and guess who were playing? To my surprise, the Pirates were playing. I don't even remember who they were playing against. But wait a minute, black and gold, black and yellow. and then the pastor stands up and it says Pirate across his chest. Mm-hmm. You know, whoa, this is new. But think about it, you know. My first question, the gentleman was so besmirched about Mr. Bond. I said, "Well, what major league baseball rule did he violate, and what major league baseball rule was he punished for?" None.
Huh?
Quiet as it was kept, major league baseball wanted something to help them spike their game, so they looked the other way and said nothing. So,
sure.
Which means they condoned it. So, all these baseball purists, hypocrites, you know, they need to go somewhere and take some Circle Black golf or some what's that stuff the parents used to give us, Camphor oil.
Robitussin.
Some of them are so full of it. They need a combined dose of all of that, so that you know they get rid of all of it one time. Because see, it's asinine to continue. And see, one thing I told the guys, listen, I said, you know, that along with the fact that having seen what happened to his dad over his career. One of the things he did early on was let them know, I ain't taking that. I ain't taking that. The other side of it was, I said, he basically told them to kiss his ass. He said he wasn't going to kiss their ass. And he basically told them, you can kiss mine. But I ain't taking
that.
And because of that, come on. These people put up with all these stuff from Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and all them kind of guys. And Sammy Sosa was so into it that he actually changed color. But that's another discussion for another time.
He went from being a Hispanic slugger to apparently a Jewish lawyer.
No shit. I mean,
Sammy, what a guy. To have him sit on that, we are in a situation where all the sports have morphed together to revel in their falseness. Now we have false stats to revel in. And, Tony, you got the baseball playoffs coming up. And Mr. Judge, All Rise, has now introduced another asterisk where, oh, he did it the right way or the white way. You know, one way or another, he was so kind of way, and he still is so kind of way. I got it. How does all this add up going into the playoffs?
Well, again, you know, end of the day, if you go by what the regular season, how the regular season played out, we could be looking at a repeat of the 2017 World Series with the Astros and the Dodgers. You know, they were the number one. You know, they were the number one seeds. And also for all these folks who are still trying to tell us that the Astros have cheated, enough already, will you? All the cheating in the world is not going to change what they've been able to do, what they're still able to do. But I digress. This is the large, you know, this, you know, now that they've had a full season with the new playoff format, this is the most teams that have ever been. This is the largest postseason in Major League Baseball history. 12 teams.
That's right.
Of course, you got the eight in the wild card. They got rid of the one game playoff, which I wish they had done years ago. But hey, whatever. It will make for some interest. I mean, I get the feeling we will, even though it probably will come down to the two teams we're talking about, we'll probably see a couple of upsets, I would think, in either the wild card round or the divisional round. It's again. If you're a baseball fan, this is the time of the year to be watching. And, unfortunately, I don't know. Now, ratings-wise, I'm not sure how they're going to do. They've got four. I'm interested to see how the ratings play out, because last year was one of the least-watched World Series in about 2015 years.
I
got a question for you, T. With the new format that they play three games, and if you got a better record, all three games are played at the better seed, how do you think that's going to work out?
Just on GP, it's better than the one-game playoff. Just the fact that they're going to have two out of three, because it's still, even with the extra wild card or whatever, it still puts a premium on the regular season. And, baseball was probably the last sport where the regular season still does mean a little something. So they were able to sort of keep that continuity. I think it'll play out fine. I mean, it's crazy because, in a sense, the Braves, who won 101 games, have somewhat of a harder road to go to than the Dodgers, who are the number one seed. But again, that's how it's supposed to work out.
But let me throw this at you real quick. Well, everybody so got their panties in a bunch because Barry Bonds is on 73. My thing is, the late Bert Sugar once said on our show, you can juice up all you want, but hand-eye coordination still had to be able to hit the ball. And the argument that I say again, that everybody wants to sit up here and talk about drugs, but you got Phil Negro, who was the biggest cheater ever. He's in the Hall of Fame. And don't get me started back in the day with Ty Cobb and the motherfuckers.
He got murders,
gangsters and everything.
Put it this way. The other factor here is, if this was, say, somebody from the Mariners doing this, or if it was somebody from Toronto, or put this way, if he's not wearing the pinstripes, would it have gotten the same amount of press?
No.
No, 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 not at all. So it plays, you know, this thing basically it hits all the check marks. You know, New York player
also,
check.
Also that Albert Pujols, St. Louis Cardinals, same thing going on in St. Louis.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I think, and they won't admit it, but I think this was in many ways, this was sort of St. Louis's way of saying, hey, we kind of messed up. Yeah, they won a World Series after he left, but this whole thing, all put it this way, all Albert Pujols ever wanted to do was to be mentioned in the same breath as Musial and Gibson and all the and unfortunately the fan base and the whatever didn't want to happen, you know. But they, I think this year and how the way it played out, it showed the error of their ways because the you know the fans wanted to see, you know, the fans basically got they basically got a chance to celebrate arguably three of the greatest players that ever wore a Cardinal jersey play out this season, and now they get to do it in the postseason as well.
Right.
And, you know, again, not to take anything away from the Dodgers or whatever, they've got just as good of a shot to make a run in this as anybody else. And what better way would it be, what greater way would it be for them to finish it out by walking away with a World Series. It's not far-fetched. I mean, it's going to be tough, but it's not far-fetched for them to possibly make a run to the World Series. That Phillies St. Louis series is going to be very, very interesting because, you know, you're basically the Phillies are in for the first time in forever, and the Cardinals have been the mainstay. You know, the first round matchups are all very, very intriguing. You know, the Seattle-Toronto is going to be tough because it's going to be interesting because you got the two youngins in a sense. You know, the two up and coming teams. You saw how Cleveland was able to basically outschlep anybody else to win the Central this year, and Tampa, you know, they did just enough to get in, but it's, you know, again, it's the same questions, you know, can the Yankees beat the Astros when it counts? Can the Padres beat the Dodgers when it counts? And there's still people who are who still don't buy into Atlanta, and that I don't get at all. I don't get that at all. You know, the crazy thing about the scariest thing about Atlanta, they may be even better than the team that actually won it last year. When you look at just the roster makeup.
Yeah. And the New York Mets. The New York Mets are like Hillary Clinton. And I was trying to make this a comparison here, but the New York Mets, before they were going to get the Eastern Conference title, but after that, it's like, oh, we got to play the last weekend?
I'm
more like Hillary Clinton without the hot sauce.
Mike, can you afford me a couple of minutes? I've been asked to do a brief rehab for some of our listeners in Flushing.
Just give me
a couple minutes, okay? Hey, folks, it's me. Hey folks, it's me. You doing all right? Did you eat something today? Okay, that's good. That's good. Did you call your mom? Good. You called your mom today? Good. That's good. Did you cuss out your uncle? Did you cuss out your fat ass uncle who's a Yankee fan? Okay, yep, good. Good. That's good. That's good. You're good. You're doing good. You're doing good so far. So you're doing okay. But just okay. Say this with me. They can't hurt me any more than they already have. Say it with me. they can't hurt me more than they already have. Okay, I think you're good. Okay, go ahead and finish your sandwich, and we'll talk again. We'll talk again tomorrow before Friday's game. Again, just definitely confront your uncle again if you need to. I highly recommend that. I highly recommend that if it helps you get through.
The most damage that's been done with sports entertainment has been in football. We've checked out countless Super Bowls. We've had people on the air. Our brother, Mr. Burroughs, who wrote a book, They Call the Game, in 1971. He said, NFL has laid out WWE kind of scenarios on the umpires. They never got caught. They decided in advance what was going to win. Some years we saw it. Some years we felt it. But the bottom line was, somebody was already orchestrating behind the scenes who was going to do what. And we've seen to this day that mindset I'm afraid, do you think that mindset still remains regarding how the NFL has decided who's going to win and how they're going to win? Fred, are you there?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
I said, have you decided on whether or not the sports
Yes, we can barely hear you, Mike.
I can barely hear you, Mike. Where are you?
Kind of low, Mike.
Can you hear me now?
Get those mics running, Mike. We need a tin can, man. Okay. Get them tin cans cranking.
Gotta get these tin cans working. All right. So can we ascertain that sports entertainment has affected football to such a degree that we're sitting there?
Turn the volume up, Mike.
Yeah, because I got a helicopter flying across my house. The whole gist of sports entertainment is, as we have come to know it, is that everybody and his first cousin think that they're managers.
True.
Everybody and their third cousin not only think they're managers, they think they're coaches. They think they can outplay anybody on the field or on the court that you can think of, no matter what the sport may be. Then you got this whole thing of, as you call it, assholery.
Yep.
The media, they know more than the coaches, the fans.
Yep.
They know more than the players. They get the second guess. They get the second guess. The thought processes of everybody, and they have become the gatekeepers to the various laws of fame. I'll start with my favorite, because I think since he's not in the Hall of Fame, they need to shut it down. That's L.C. Greenwood. I mean, I look at guys like L.C. Greenwood. I look at several guys that played even for Reggie's old team, the Jerry Joneses. They're guys, but you know, how is it that Desmond King has built the Penrod Boys, and he's not in the Hall of Fame? You know, how is it Otis Taylor helped build the NFL? He's not in the Hall of Fame.
True.
And I'm a true proponent that every one of these guys whose favorite word is but needs to get kicked in the nuts. And that's as nice as I can say it. Because there's no reason they not only don't know the history of various sports, they ignore. They have to ignore it because it's right there in front of you. You know, out of all those Prairie View guys, I think there's only two of them in the Hall of Fame. Well, where's Otis Taylor? Where's Burrow? You know, think about it. Carmichael was 6'8", 6'7", 6'8". Could outrun most defensive backs and receivers. Had some of the best hands that ever a muddy ball. And it took him all the, see, too many people forget that if you go back and count the starting lineup for the Pittsburgh Steelers for most of the 6 years that they played in four
correct
Super Bowls, do you realize only one of the front four is from a major college?
Yep.
Counting the top seven defensive linemen, only two are from major college. Go to the linebacker court. You have two. You know who do they say epitomizes, quote, the great middle linebacker? A walk-on quarterback from Kent State,
yep,
who decided to play middle linebacker, and he was, quote, never big enough to play the position he played. Go to the defensive backfield. Who were the guys that played? Only the left cornerback during that era from New Jersey.
Well,
okay,
the two,
and remember before Shell and before Shell came into his own,
right,
they had a guy from Grambling playing that side.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Wide receiver.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the wide receiver. You know, John Stallworth did his thing, but Lewis from Grambling
played
the other wide receiver spot.
That's
okay.
Right.
They made Lynn Swann because they couldn't cover him, they couldn't double him and let the other one go.
That's exactly right.
You had all these guys out there who are from small schools. Look at the offensive linemen. Get this, Sam Davis is from Allen University. Everest could tell you, although it's right across the street from Benedict College, you can barely find Allen University on the national.
I heard that. Mm-hmm.
So what's all this big deal about these guys from the big schools?
But the issue is cumulative. What kind of story can the league sell? We got Patrick Juan mixed. Patrick
Kinnear. Live Living Color, boys. What's up?
How
are
you?
What's going on? So, Mike, not to be a pain, but you're still kind of low.
Oh, okay. Not trying to be a pain, but sifting through this folks in the room earlier, we have to deal with the reality of the fact that on any given Sunday, somebody's going to lie their ass off. And now that we've got money in the mix, a lot of people are going to lie their ass off. I'll take you to a brief version of the shenanigans court two Thursdays ago. Cleveland was playing Pittsburgh. Now, this is like your normal NFC North game. I believe Cleveland was favored by four. And everything was saying this Black Town was going to do well. Kobe Brissett, he played a decent game. He serviced the team well. The running game was very effective and was coming to the end of the game. Now, 41 points was over under. And the score was 23-17 with less than 10 seconds left. The Steelers got the ball, and we thought that was fair complete. However, the Steelers fucked it up. They gave the ball up, and there was a fumble in the end zone. And no matter which team picked it up, the score was lost. His own team picked it up. It was in a safety and 2 points. But Cleveland picked it up, and it was 6 points for touchdown. The score was 29-17, 46-point score. The overs win, and thousands, I repeat, thousands of bucks was given to the Kings because Dallas always wins. And you got to sort through all this and say, did this really happen? Does anybody really believe now that we've got these kinds of scenarios working and they're just waiting to see which outcome would affect the most people the most way?
Yeah, and you notice, Mike, you always see a lot of these shenanigans on nationally televised games. Not the, I mean, yeah, you probably get them in some of the regional games as well. But most importantly, you know, that was a Thursday night game.
When
we saw the Tua thing. Well, no, it's not even so much that. It's more so just the whole thing of, you know, when you throw in the betting part of it now. And by the way, the over was 42. For that game, kind of high. To me, it was kind of high for a couple of low scoring teams. But you know, again, you know, it is what it is because, you know, it played itself out. I don't know what the over was for the Detroit Seattle game this past week, but I would think somebody's eating gold plated soup somewhere in Seattle and Detroit because of the over, but I digress. But yeah, it's you know, again, it's pushing product. I mean, end of the day, that's what the, you know, the NFL, the one thing that the NFL does that the other sports don't do, I shouldn't say they don't do as well, they push the product, but the NFL has just taken it to a whole other level because of the revenue streams and what have you. And see, they've become, I think the difference between the NFL and a lot of these other leagues is that the gambling entity is almost a whole thing. Well, it's a league in and of itself now, especially now, because this,
between the gambling fantasy stuff, it's getting ridiculous.
Well, it's the same. As far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing, Fred. I know they keep trying to play that game of skill messed down our field, but no, it's gambling. It's gambling. When you're chasing numbers, if you're chasing numbers to be able to put a couple more bucks in your pocket, it's not tiddlywinks. It's not backgammon. It's not tiddlywinks. It's gambling, plain and simple.
Patrick, we've seen New Jersey pick up $2,000 in revenue from gambling over the last 3 years.
Michael, what news are you?
Oh, sorry about that.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little better, but it's still very, very low.
Can
you
still
hear
now?
We can hear you, but it's real low.
And there's some feedback from somewhere.
TV, turn that TV off. Turn that TV off.
There you go. Well, I haven't said all that. New Jersey's made a lot of money off of gambling. They'll make more. But a game like this is like evidence that all you had to do was decide, am I going to use the mortgage money or am I going to use the grocery money and pick up a couple extra bucks? Because I've seen this story before and I've seen this scenario before. Has this made you a more wary gambler, Patrick? Haven't seen some of these results.
Well, I wouldn't dictate what the purpose of an individual is. I do know Jersey's been making more money on online than anybody else. It's the culture that's been established a long time ago. And again, it benefits the league. It's going to keep benefiting the league and look for more creative ways to gamble on football more than ever. It's coming. There are too many entities, and I won't go into now, behind the scenes that are partnering with individuals that can handle the that can and will enhance the betting experience in the NFL. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, when it comes to this betting, and isn't it interesting that Turner Gill wanted a job at Nebraska? Now they got a brother's interim coach. Talk about what a bitch. But my thing is, with all this money flowing, and as we talked about earlier, ESPN did a story where over $650 million has been spent on coaches being bought out, C. Herman Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if you look at all these coaches, and, yeah, by the way, Deion Sanders and to rumor to be looked at the Auburn job. We all know that Florida State come over, that's the job he wants. But my thing is, when you see all these coaches and these hit and miss and these colleges spend all this money to buy coaches out, what the hand stands going on when these players need to get some of that action and they're upset about it?
Players ain't got nothing to do with it.
They only need labor out there on the field.
And the kid, matter of fact, I'll see Mark Joseph in Indiana in the draft on Saturday. He's gonna be there till the end of the season. He's gonna be gone because they are seriously looking for a new coach for next year. Unfortunately, it won't be him. Matter of fact, I'm doing an interview with one of the all-time greats on the field on Saturday, Richie Glover. And Richie, now, we talked about it last week. You know, he's stepped up. You know, he knows the guy. He wants the guy to do well. But he knows behind the scenes that the powers of being, particularly in a state like Nebraska, you know, if you look at their mascot, it's a blue-eyed, blonde-haired boy that represents the core hunger, and that's kind of coach they want to get. They reached out to Urban Meyer, and I told Nick, forget Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is too much celebrity to go to Nebraska, unless they give him half the state as property. He ain't coming.
And Patrick, don't forget every third woman has to sit on his lap a couple times a week too. But that's another story.
And big thick woman too. He ain't coming.
Man, you go again.
The Rise is going to come.
The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the advertisers, but they're probably damn correct though. But
yeah. Hey, Patrick, how you like those bands I showed you on Facebook? How you like the bands I posted?
Oh, the bands are great. It's great to see. Matter of fact, here's one of the cultural phenomena that a lot of city kids up this way have no idea was. I had my interns last week. I put on two bands, a band that I recorded back 12 years ago, which was Morgan State, and I put on the latest Southern band. And tell them boys, two or three guys, boys almost lost his mind. And the girl said,
they kind of loose us.
And that's when the girls was on diet. Hey, but Patrick, what about the young lady at USC that got a dance team that got the HCU flavor?
I'll be late for
her. Well, you got black folks mad at her.
Oh, please. They go kick rocks. The team was just on Jennifer Hudson's ran the show earlier this week. I'm happy for her.
What show was that?
Jennifer Hudson has a new talk show.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And
Jennifer Hudson has a talk show?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know that. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to. No, I'm not being funny.
Yeah,
she's
on for a
I had no idea.
Yeah,
why did I hear
a
sarcasm in T-voice? Why did I hear sarcasm in T-voice?
There's three black-oriented shows that come on our Fox station here. Jennifer Hudson. Some other girl, some black girl,
Jerry,
and then there's
Jerry
a guy
Shepard.
That has a show.
Jerry Shepard
has a show too.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Wow.
So.
See, you know, I'm showing my age, I'm also showing my ignorance, because I'm just a sports, movies, and cartoons guy. Not necessarily that.
I'm
mad at you. They get rid of one horse named Wendy Williams, and they open the door for everybody else.
Wendy Williams,
That's an upgrade already. So,
with
yeah.
Big horse feet.
And fellas, don't be surprised if you see again next year. And I'll leave that one.
Happy to a better person.
Okay. Okay. Wouldn't be surprised. Well, yeah. Is the camera hall that's got the other show?
Yeah, she's still on.
Who
you want to hit me? Camera Hall.
She used to be on NBC, MSNBC.
Yes.
I see she's blonde. I see she has blonde hair now.
Yeah. And the reason why I don't want Camera Hall at all anymore was the word got out from one of her producers when they first came on, say, we're gonna make this a black show. Really? Okay. Okay.
Not like forgetting your roots, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Reg, the check for clearance also. So keep it on the hush, will you?
Yeah.
That's the sad part about it. The checks are clear.
That's how you get it. Yep. You know, that's how it goes.
Oh,
like those Monday games HBCU play, the checks are clear, so don't worry about busting up and you like loose at the team. The checks are clear.
Yeah.
Does Nick Cannon still have his show?
Yeah, he's on TV and radio, is he not?
Yes. And Nick Cannon's Wild Night is back, and he's gonna be back hosting it.
Oh, jeez. Hide all the women and children here. Well, mostly the women, I guess, in Nick's case.
And quite frankly, I was forced
you can
to
only
watch
hide
so
many children.
Yes. Yeah, seven. He might have nine.
Where are the white women at?
Yeah.
Herschel Walker online too. Herschel Walker online too.
Put it this way. I think we're gonna have to change the history books. Apparently, Nick Cannon is really the father of our country.
You know, it's kind of ridiculous in my mind. You're just a rubber. You know, I mean, you got the money to afford him, but come on, think about the kids. But, you know, some folks do what they want to do.
Absolutely.
I tell them, folks all the time, when you make that much money and get that much access, don't tell them what you won't do. You do what you want to do because you can.
Pretty much.
Is this Donald Trump online, too, from New York? Donald Trump online, too.
He's a straight-up hoe.
So tell me.
Michael,
let's get in the line.
Get a suit
here. Is
Mike still
there?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, cool.
I got something.
Okay. I was going to say, would you vote for somebody who we already know is flawed, but the party says we got his back to protect him? Or did you feel that this is total nonsense and just started? I think this race is a lot worse than people want to admit.
What I couldn't hear what race?
I didn't get any of that, Mike.
I can barely hear you, man.
Herschel Walker and Warnock.
Oh, my God, that race is, the race is close, unfortunately. It's a sad commentary on political arena and system of Georgia.
Yep.
But, you know, if you know the history of Georgia, more than what's in the footnotes of public schools, they tell you. You know, if you know the history of Georgia, I think at one time back in the 1870s, they wanted to make Georgia a complete all-white state. That should tell you something right there. So the remnant to that is coming with the fact that these people are actually going to put this boy. Here's the personification of how bad things and how I despise the Republican Party. Charles Stanley, that white boy that comes on every Sunday, that the preacher comes on all these places across the country. On Tuesday, when all this stuff broke out about, you know, the extra kid, what he did was call his church members, his prayer warriors, to have a prayer warrior for a bush woman so he could stay in the race. I'm going, wait a minute.
Are you talking about Charles Stanley, the head, baby by his brother-in-law's wife or something like that?
That's Charles Stanley, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, keep it in the family.
Yeah. Prayer warriors for Herschel Walker. Okay.
He needs prayer warriors because of Herschel Walker, much more so than for him.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of us have a rich heritage, deep-seated in HBCU, and there's certain qualities that you have. You know, one of the things that always irked me to no end was how Big House put such an emphasis on honesty. One of the things that you want to get cut or run to death with him was to lie to him. And as a youngster, I thought we were just so far out there. But he's old. He had his little ways and all that kind of stuff. And from time to time, he would say some certain things, and he would try to light into you. But the biggest thing was he wanted you to develop good character. He never called it character. He said good common sense and a couple other things. You know, I looked at, you got a whole, you have most of the Confederacy in this line behind the Herschel Walkers of the world. But the real deal was, you can't take Herschel Walker out of Georgia proper and make him into whatever they're trying to make him into, which I can't figure out what that is. Because he's still Herschel Walker. He can't even.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of us who went to an APC, you know, we didn't have nobody do our work for us. You did it yourself. Unless you could find a real cute girl that was really smart, which was one of one of the common sense things we were taught by our coaches. Well, apparently, he didn't read none of the stuff that they wrote for him. Because the saddest thing was he found that they don't take basic civics, they don't have a civics class as one of the mandatory classes in high school anymore. Well, Herschel ain't that old. He was around when they had civics classes. But he apparently don't know nothing about how the law, how the state set up, none of that stuff. And then to have not just, and just to correct you just a little bit, not just the Republican Party in Georgia, but after you leave Atlanta, it gets very, it's not that bad anymore. There's a lot of light out there, and even with the light out there with the likes of Albany and all these other towns in Georgia, he still is a jerk, bordering on a full friend.
He knows
too little about what he's running for, and all he wants to do is to keep the, I guess, to keep the support of one guy on the city. That's like plowing a white mule and a black mule hooked to the same plow. Okay, but if you don't, and because they tie together, you pull one string, you pull both strings, pull both of them in that direction. And Lord help Georgia, because they be in big trouble. And they're in trouble now with him just having him run. She was just having him run, but imagine if he wins.
That's the terrible part, Fred. Imagine if he wins. And there's a chance, unfortunately, the way the polls are now, that he might.
What will happen is,
if it's close, then they'll do a runoff, just so they can prolong it even more.
You had Jay-Z what? That brother was bad. I know that brother, but it ain't really about the party.
That was almost 3 years ago, Gary, in Oklahoma. The J.C. Watt man.
I like J.C. Watt.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah, that was it. Gary was the guy. Having said that, we know that there aren't that many people who come off the athletic field and can speak on things in a conservative, of a conservative nature, and be consistent, have position.
Yeah.
First of all,
Mike, this is for the great state of Georgia, where my family comes from. You have representing that great state, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Herschel Walker. Lord.
Oh, God. One of these things is not the best. One of these things.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
What's that say for the people of Georgia?
Marjorie Taylor Greene did not be in. It's like Lord Bobart. Lord Bobart did not be in. What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people?
Gary,
you're trying to invoke logic, and of course, if you haven't heard, there's no room for logic in politics.
And all boils down to what I've said since 2015, when Donald Trump started running for the governor, his presidency. It ain't about being right; it's about being white.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty much. Because no, just get started.
I got no problems trying to follow the playoffs. I don't need to throw politics into
Thank
it
you.
As well.
Thank you. And I know you're feeling pretty good about the time Tony gives you guys in.
You know, we'll just see how it plays. I've had to talk about 85 people off the ledge in the last 24 to 48 hours. It was like, you know, we'll come out. The sun will come out tomorrow. The Pope will still, whatever. You know, it ain't the end of the world. It's not like back in the day when you didn't have a playoff, because you know, at least you're not the 90. You know, you're not the 93 Giants. You win 103 games, and you go play golf the next day.
Yeah. Tony, let me drop this little nugget before we go to final thoughts. Now, Aaron Judge got the 62 home runs before the deadline. How much is that worth?
What was that again? Say that again?
Aaron Judge got home runs before the deadline. How much is that worth on a contract?
I can tell you how much.
When you throw in the fact that he's going to possibly be MVP, but see, here's the real thing. Let's put it this way. He's going to basically have to be somewhat of the plow horse for the Yankees in the postseason. And if he can be a Reggie or a Jeter or what have you in regards, because see, the only thing that's not on his resume, like Ruth and Maris, no ring. He hasn't even played in a World Series game yet. But see, the farther they go, the more he does, that little check machine, that little cha-ching you hear in the background goes up. But see, here's the thing. If the daddy was still running the team, he'd have probably been signed by now. Oh, he'd have probably been signed by now, I would think. The thing is now, there are going to be other suitors out there for him.
Lord.
Here's the thing. The Yankees have to look at themselves in the face and just say, do we want him to be the face of our franchise or not? Because they can see the Yankees can go either way here, because they can basically make him the muscle-bound Derek Jeter or let him walk like they did with Reggie. And remember, it took, you know, when Reggie walked, it took a while before they got back to a World Series. So it's a pivotal signing. It's a pivotal postseason and off season for both him and the Yankees, because the core that they thought that they had is shown to be okay, but not quite up to snuff.
Mike, let me say this. Mike, you want to know how much he can make? If it doesn't come up to one thing, when he goes in, when he talks to the Yankees, in a blank check, I'm gone.
Yeah. Exactly. Put it this way. You see, the Angels just gave Shohei basically
30 grand.
30 for one season. And his big payday can still be there. Don't think that those folks in the Bronx don't see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, I told you before, a blank check out west with somebody, San Francisco, Angels, it's there. And he knows it's there. So, let me add some sauce to the meat. He's close to the Triple Crown.
I believe that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I think he came up. I think he came up short with the batting thing. But yeah. I mean. Let's see. Here's the funny thing. The worst thing that can happen
to the Yankees, at least in their eyes, there's three teams they don't want him to go to.
Mm-hmm.
One, Preach. Obviously the other team on the other side of the river.
Oh, yeah.
Two, the other team going toward Connecticut and past the Mass Turnpike.
Oh, hell yeah.
And believe it or not, and the team in Maryland, and I'm not talking about the Nats.
Uh-oh.
Because, see, you put Judge in that little ballpark with that young team. Yes, Lord. Because the crazy thing about what usually happens here with something like that, if the guy does wind up signing with somebody else, it's always not the most obvious team.
Mm-hmm.
It's always not the most obvious team. I defy anybody to tell me that Chris Bryant was going to sign with Colorado. Or that the kid from Houston was going to sign with Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Always somebody, they always go somewhere where you least expect.
Mm-hmm. I think it's California, though.
What does it say about number one son and number two son if they don't even try to sign him? I mean,
right.
this isn't Jacoby Ellsbury we're talking about here.
That's right.
And Mike, they have no problem giving Garrett Cole $345 million.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Exactly.
If it looked like Brad Pitt with what he's doing now, again, the blank check would have been presented in front of news cameras, in front of press cameras. Put whatever number it is, and that's what you got.
Oh, sure.
And lastly, Tom, let's be my, and particularly what angers me, and I'm not a Yankee fan by no means, but the fact that you went around sporting around where we won 28 world championships, we're the highest paid franchise in sports, really. But you can't be thriller, a blank check.
That's right.
All right.
Well, but see again, that's their history. Remember, with all due respect to Elston Howard, in many ways, Reggie Jackson was the first black man to play for the Yankees, in a sense.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. And you know,
that was the face organization.
They, you know, exactly. And they did it very, very begrudging. I mean, you know, Aaron, you know, Judge has not had the kind of regular season that Reggie had in that first. I mean, that first season in the Bronx. I mean, the fact that he showed up and then performed in the World Series. With the exception of Jeter and Williams and CC Sabathia, and the poor man had to drink himself under the table just to get through it. It's important. Let's put it this way. What's interesting is the fact that at least on the surface, there hasn't been an offer made. And I get it, you know, they want to wait and see how the year plays out. And I understand that. But still, you do all that, like Patrick said, you do all that posturing, you know, 28 world championships and, you know, pride and power and all the other stuff. Yeah. Because all I want to know is, if you let him walk, what's plan B?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What's plan B?
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring in Dave Collins this time and cover your ass.
Tony, I know a bunch of diehard Yankee fans. Diehard. It's God and baseball, and God don't come first. And believe me when I tell you.
Sure.
And they are livid that this guy has been signed and are really panicking for what he might do. And the backlash ain't
sure,
going to be good.
Sure. And see, even they know with every home run, with every RBI, with every, you know, the price goes up.
Amen.
Yeah. The price goes up.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. The minute they cry poor, they will lose. They'll lose your boys that you're talking about, Patrick, because they, you know, look, they look at it as a birthright to basically sign the biggest guy. And see, that's the reason why they're not too cool about Cole, because see, here's the thing. Cole is not a terrible pitcher, but
no.
The biggest problem with him is that what's been his signature moment? He hasn't had a signature moment in the postseason. Yeah, in the especially, because look, you know, Catfish, Sabathia, Guidry, you know, it's you know, for Christ's sakes, Roger frickin' Clemens, the outsider. Yeah. This is, you know, put it this way. And maybe this is the Met fan in me. There ain't no pressure in the team in the Flushing. The pressure's in the Bronx.
Hello. Hello.
Pressure's in the Bronx.
100% correct.
That's exactly right.
150% correct.
Yeah. Because see, they're still trying to figure it out. That's the good thing. They still, you know, the 100 wins this year. You know, it's nice and all the other stuff. But they're still, you know, we still know that even what winds, I mean, even if by some stretch of the imagination they can win it or get to a World Series this year, there's still more work to be done. There's still more work to be done because, see, they've got to figure out whether they want to bring back DeGrom.
Yep. Definitely some stay tuned action going on. I want to get the final thoughts as I am at the top of the hour. My voice is a little gravelly, a little rough, and I apologize for that. But so thank
you. You gotta apologize, man.
No, man, no. Yeah, you gotta apologize, Michael. Hey, see, what I like, guys, is. His team's 4-0, and he's so humble. He's so humble. It hurts to be humble, don't it?
And Mike, Dallas fans in this area are going crazy. They said they can't wait for Philadelphia. I said, you might want to wait.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for there.
There you go.
Having said that, Reggie, hit us off with some wisdom, please. Reggie, are you there?
There you go, Mike.
Reggie got a syllabus on me.
I think I heard
Reggie's trying to find some extra money for the Orioles so they can sign Judge.
Well, there you go. How about that? But while he's going to the couch, Patrick, lead us off, please.
Yeah, man. A couple of months, I told you about this, and I've gone over a couple of times already, but it's played out to the degree what I was told. And it manifests itself with team being invaded in the top 10 from last year not being an afterthought. USC Trojans, the best team money a college team can buy. And guess what? I got to give it to them. Them boys can play. Them boys, they got a squad. A squad that you have to watch out for. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if they make the playoffs. Because I've seen them play two games.
Patrick, are we talking NFL playoffs or the college playoffs? Which one?
We're talking about both. We're talking both.
Because they're probably the best team in LA right now.
Hey, Patrick, they're going to try to get Baker Mayfield to go back to Oklahoma.
Wait, and just wait, Reggie. He ain't going to start.
I'm going to start it. Hey, he's going to cause a certain coach's job down in North Carolina.
You ain't wrong,
man. He gave up Baker for this. Oh, and Mike Tomlin, brother, I love you, but Newt, I think you might have a losing season coming. My boy Mike Tomlin, I said, oh, Lord.
Yeah,
hey, come on now. In God we trust with Mr. Pickett or whatever his name is.
When
that Buffalo defense get to spanking his little young ass around Sunday, we gonna wish he was back home in Pitt.
Yes, indeed.
You know it's bad when you getting punked at home by the Jets.
Hey, Patrick, can you tell Harbaugh to learn how to make halftime adjustments in not one but two games?
Hey, I think he's personally, I think he's nervous. Really.
He's going to lose his team. He keeps messing up.
He
already had a couple incidents on the sidelines. He keep on.
Put it this way. Ray Lewis has gone through three dogs in 3 weeks while watching this team.
You know, that's wrong, T. That's just wrong. That's wrong.
And I don't hear Peter on this at all. So, but, you know, I'm just saying.
You talking about little Biggie and Michael Vick?
I'm just saying.
Watch out for USC.
I hear that. Reggie, come on in here now.
You got
your sandwiches.
Well, I'm going to say this on a serious note, Mike. I've been praying for you, brother, and I love you. And like I said, I know the show's been on hiatus, but sometimes, as I said earlier, we got to tell people we love them, we're praying for them, and we hope that they're doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my final thought.
Thank you for coming in here with us, folks. Entertainment, give us some background, give us some wisdom.
Well, first of all, Mike, none of us gave you permission to be sick, so you know, cut it out to get with the program.
Looking like a true Winston-Salem Ram.
having said that, you know, this year has been interesting. I just before I called in this evening, I was talking to someone that worked with me about the their Federal State Homecoming, and I just noticed about a week ago I haven't been to a college football game in right at 3 years, because 2020 we didn't have football. I didn't go last year because everything was shut down, and so far I haven't been to one this year. But having said that, you know, it's funny how life keeps going on with or without you, and it's still up to you to do the best you can with what you have and where you are. You know, trying to keep close to reality. And I was watching some of these governors and so forth who are so anti-Biden and so anti this, that, and the other, starting with the one in Florida. And, you know.
Yeah, that was a nice photo op in Florida.
I'm trying to watch him with a straight face, understanding that he has no control over the situation that he's in. But I said, how ironic. All the crap he and his Republican friends have spoken over Mr. Biden in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, guess who's standing over his left shoulder now, waiting for a check.
Free.
You know, you know, to show you how
how sad and plain stupid all this is. Do you realize they had a bill before the Senate, and not one of the congressmen from the state of Florida bothered to vote for it in favor for money to fund, for money to go to the state of Florida. There, you know, where Ian, you know, the IAEA hit last week, and they basically ignored all the money they need to rebuild and all the emergency stuff, because, you know, I have been in some of these post hurricane situations that were much worse than what we endured last weekend, because all we got was a lot of rain and a few limbs and leaves in the yard. But, you know, I've been in these places where they said, well, why isn't president in there the next day? You can't land Air Force One in there, and you gotta clear a way for them to get in to do all these things. But, you know, the talking heads are going crazy. But fortunately, most of HBCUs came through this weekend. Mine didn't bother to play, so we missed the game. We missed the game that we possibly could have won. But that's another story for another time. I hope all of you have gotten the feed, because I sent up some order information. Now that I have all three of the books on HBCU history, football, basketball, men and women, they're available now. They're actually selling pretty good. I used something somebody said, I won't call Mike's name, but about 4 years ago, put some black college sports history on your Christmas tree.
There
Mike,
you go.
Mike, I'll send you a check. Don't cast it, but I'll send you a check.
www.blackhead.interview. Buy books, especially now, buy books. This black thing will last on a coffee table, on a nightstand. Anytime's a good time for some black history. We love it. Thank you, Professor, for chiming in. Gary, give us some light, my brother.
Yes, sir. I got two things. Number one, if I hear the word aliens again, I'm going to kick somebody's butt. Now, this is why I say this. You have the ball on the 1 yard line. You have 4 pounds. You're in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You kick a field goal to let the defense take over and
There you go, coaching again. Gary.
What I saw in Baltimore last week was a complete disgrace. You're telling me that you cannot hold anybody's performance, and if they win the game, so be it. You play to win the game.
Tell him, Reverend Herm. You tell him, Reverend Herm.
In the Book of Herman.
He must not have seen the Panthers game.
Number two.
That coach is like he was in
100 shooting yesterday. 100 shooting by gun. This has got to stop. It's the highest rate since 2019. We can't do this. We got to stop killing each other in the streets. There we go, 1 o'clock, Saturday afternoon.
Yes, indeed.
Also, the music box, it will be the Ohio Players.
Gary, you promised me a polka special this week. Come on now.
Dan Tight.
Unfortunately, Gary, they smoked up Peru. That was the problem. That's another story going.
In lieu of my influence saying in heaven there is no beer, it's your turn, brother.
Well, in the category of he didn't hit him hard enough, as far as I'm concerned, the fan that ran on the field during the San Francisco Rams game the other night, he has filed a police report against Bobby Wagner. Santa Clara Police Department Lieutenant Quang Phan confirmed that on Wednesday the report was filed on Tuesday afternoon. Because this is an active investigation, information will be limited. But according to TMZ, the major media news capital of the world, the individual is an activist for the Berkeley, California-based animal rights group Direct Action Everywhere, and was trying to raise awareness for a trial involving the alleged theft of pigs from a factory farm. Let me read that again, because I got to make sure I'm reading
that.
He's raising awareness for a trial involving the alleged theft of pigs from a factory farm.
I have one question.
Gary, how far are you from Berkeley?
I am only 5 miles away from Berkeley.
I have a small assignment for you, Gary. I got three words. Finish the job. That's all I can say.
Wait. And Tony, add to that, if it's Bobby Wagner, just imagine if it had been Mike Curtis.
Yep.
Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. You know what? I would reanimate him just for that one moment.
No shit.
Because he might be dead.
Oh, by the way, Mike, one other aside. I got one last aside. Contrary to popular belief, it wasn't the Braves series that killed the Mets this year.
It wasn't?
No. I'll tell you exactly where it ended. Now, the Mets were minding their own business and playing a series with the Oakland Athletics, an alleged major league team that plays some parts of Oakland. Now, on Friday night, they won their game, won it pretty convincingly. But the next day, an unnamed fan who, shall we say, dabbles in rooting for either the Oakland team or the Mets team showed up at the game. Let's just put it this way. Before a certain talk show host of a very popular show out of Oakland, California showed up at the game, Jacob DeGrom I'm putting it squarely on you, Gary. I'm putting it squarely on you. They were doing fine. But then, you know, just like Johnny Fontaine with his Jerry Curl looks and his Negro preacher charm, Gary Norris rolls in there. And the Mets have never been the same since then. So I blame you.
Travis Bickle on line one. Yes, indeed. We know how bad it can be. But here's a little something to think about. Now, I've seen commercials over the last couple of days for a movie called Phil. And we all know what it's about.
We all know what it's about. We don't know why they made the movie. But what I can't understand is why are they trying to gloss it over? We already know what happened. They already know what happened. And this bitch is still alive. And the bitch is a good woman. Put the bitch in jail. And that's it. Let her die. Let her die. Let her die behind bars or whatever.
Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I lied on my baby and stay with her till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I dig a 10-foot ditch and run through the jungle fighting lions with a switch. Of course, you know I love you, baby.
Well,
yes, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. I got blisters on my feet, trying to find my baby and bring her home with me. You better run into me, baby, and be convinced. If you don't run into me, woman, you ain't got no sense. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, Mona Lisa was a man. My money, my woman, and my pet. I got to have your baby, settle for nothing less. Give up all my good time girls and set for happiness. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I want you, baby. Yet your smiling face is my heavenly light. Well,
put that bitch behind bars for good. Grits ain't groceries. Eggs ain't poultry. And Caitlyn Jenner's a motherfucking man. Good night.